The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
Well, families take most of the challenges they are thrown by sight loss in their stride, and Olivia's dad is no exception to this. RNIB Connect magazine featured this story back in June, and as it comes up to her birthday this month, let's take the time to visit them again.
Olivia's now 2.5. She was born with corneal sclerosis, so she was essentially fully blind when she was born. She was seen by one of the ophthalmologists in Edinburgh, Brian Fleck, the first day of her life, and was referred down to Great Ormond Street Hospital for Children. And she underwent transplantation of her left cornea aged 2 months and then her right cornea aged 4 months, and subsequently has had a further 18 operations. Essentially, she had corneal sclerosis, so her eyes were completely opaque when she was born. The cause of this, we don't know. It's not something that runs in the family, and it wasn't anticipated before she was born. So essentially what they've done is chopped that out and replaced it with the cornea of a donor. But she's had a number of further procedures to try and fine-tune things, create new pupils, and she's had a number of rejection episodes because obviously these are not her own corneas, so she requires a number of powerful drugs to try and prevent her rejecting her corneas. But, you know, it's a lot of effort. We have, like many parents, very busy working lives, but now have to get up an extra hour earlier just to give her all her drugs in the morning and an hour at night, and she's got several drugs during the day to get as well. So, but despite that, you know, she's a fantastic little kid who is, as I say, very much a character. When Olivia was born, she actually passed her midwife check, and it wasn't recognised immediately that she was blind. But she had vernix in her eyes, and it was only after the midwife left the room that Olivia kind of opened her eyes a little, and I noticed that they were opaque, and my wife also noticed as well, and it's just that horror moment of, oh my Lord, what's going to happen? And your whole life just rushes ahead of you. You just think, it's just completely unexpected. Very difficult to explain, actually. And Olivia was born at the end of November, which is, of course, getting into the festive period, and you had ideas of what your child's first Christmas was going to be like, and it was certainly not the first Christmas we were anticipating. But I think the funny thing is Christmas time for us was maybe hopeful because she wasn't transplanted until the 26th of January, but we noticed that she reacted very well to Christmas lights and lights that changed in colour. And so we went out and bought what was essentially Blackpool illuminations for the house. So we probably overdid things, but it certainly gave us something to do and gave us hope, I suppose, that she did react to these things. And, I mean, we're very much aware that visual development's most important in the first few months of life, and we were doing everything we could to try and encourage that. As parents, we were left alone in terms of the emotions, the psychological effects of this. A support network was not there. And as I say, many of the things that we did to try and encourage visual development in those early stages were done off our own back, whether they were right or wrong. It's what we thought was right. Things are different now. We have a visual support teacher, who Lynn Limer, who's lovely, and you know she's a lovely person to talk to, a very calming influence, and can allay some of our fears. But of course, nobody can predict what happens in the future. Support mechanisms are difficult. We've not had any form of counselling offered to us. In fact, one of the children that was transplanted at the same time as Olivia uses us as a support mechanism. They phone us for advice quite a bit of the time, and it would be nice if obviously that was a two-way street, but it's difficult. As a parent, you're willing to do anything to give your child this chance of sight, but it's very difficult to look at the long term and know where we're going from here. You don't know how she's going to be in 2 years' time, 5 years' time, or even when she's a fully grown adult and having children of her own or grandchildren of her own. But what we know is that now she functions exceedingly well as a child. She's very articulate. She is independent around the house. Haven't got her into household chores yet, but we're working on it. You know, if she's blind at the end of this, the bottom line is she knows what her mother looks like, she knows what her father looks like, and she knows what flowers look like. And that's the most important thing.
Interesting to hear from Olivia's dad there. Thank you for sharing your story and telling us what it's like to be the parent of a blind child. You know, this show is not just for blind and partially sighted people. If you are someone who has a blind child and maybe you want to tell us how wonderful they are, as I'm sure you will, then you can get in touch. The Weekly Connect at rnib.org.uk. Equally, if you know someone who is blind or partially sighted, maybe a good friend, and you want to share their story or your story about your friendship with them and what you've learned about sight loss, then do get in touch. No one is left out here on The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
The Weekly Connect.
On RNIB Connect Radio.